okay, keyword navigation. So everything I can do in OpenOffice, I must be able to do it with keyword only, so to make sure everybody can use all the functionality. So some users cannot use a mouse, but most people are able to use a keyboard. And some users cannot see the screen. If you can't see the screen, you cannot use a mouse to click anywhere. And it's not only for disabled people, it helps everybody. So a lot of people find it much faster if they can use a keyboard to access different functions in OpenOffice. So accessibility improves the user experience for everyone, not only for people with special needs. I could have added another topic here. So it's required for OpenOffice larger deployments in some governments. We have all seen the news in Massachusetts and in Belgium and Denmark. But the last sentence is enough reason to take care of that topic. Colors and fonts are also very important. So for a long time, because of our own visual UI toolkit, we didn't care too much about which colors are as operating system. We had our own color scheme, the user was not able to modify it. So that has changed. We really use the color schemes from the operating system. The operating system, of course, doesn't have defined colors for everything we need. So for application specific things like the background from the document and so on. We have spent a lot of time in supporting high contrast and large fonts. So even the content is sometimes rendered differently. So we not only use the colors from the system, but when we detect high contrast mode with a special mode in an interest for only drawing the outlines instead of complete shapes. And by default, OpenOffice is a system font for UI, but the user is also able to choose another font for it. With our documentation to be accessible, we deliver the documentation in HTML and PDF. Nowadays, PDF would be enough, but a few years ago, there were not many screen readers who were able to handle PDF applications. So we have our own head system, which of course is also accessible. And we have our templates and sample documents that are all reviewed to make sure that everything needed for accessible is in there. So if we use our examples, they should be well accessible. For the special features we have introduced, we have a read-only cursor. So the problem with a read-only document is you normally can only use a mouse to select a word, but you cannot use a keyboard. So that makes it really difficult if you have to use a screen reader. So it's turned off by default, but you can switch it on in tools, options, accessibility, and then you can have a simple cursor to travel through document content when it's read-only. We have a theming, an extra theming for the head viewer, because you might want a different layout for the head viewer, smaller font, because you need a lot of text on the page. Some people need the ability to turn off animations on the screen, so that's also possible. An important thing is the automatic font color. So when you're creating a document, nowadays, the default is automatic font color. That means if you're on a white background, then you have a black font. But if you have turned on high contrast with a black background, then you have a white font. The problem is you have some older documents. And a few years ago, the default was not automatic font color, but black. So if somebody would open old documents and has high contrast turned on, he would not be able to read anything. So we can use that mode to make sure all text is visible under all circumstances. So what kind of assistive technology do we have? We have the screen magnifiers, screen readers, so we'll come back on the different things later. Voice control, on-screen keyboard, some keyboard and mouse enhancement, alternate input-output device, and IBS synthesis switches, braille device, a lot of different things. So for the so-called assistive technology, we have some history. In the past, it was very easy for AT. So we had only text output, we had a screen buffer, so AT could get the characters from the screen buffer and read it to the user. Then the graphical user interfaces came up and nobody took care about accessibility. So it was really a hard time for AT vendors to get a foot into that. So they have to patch the display driver to get every command for drawing text. They have to build an off-screen model and a lot of other things. So that's also a reason why different AT cannot coexist on one operating system, right, at least for a long time. So now we have a third generation for assistive technology. We have well-defined API, so the AT doesn't have to patch the operating system anymore. And if the AT needs any information from the application, it can simply ask the application. So there's another advantage is the AT doesn't have to know anything about the application. It can be very generic and communicate with any application, give me your text, what's on the screen, and so on. So nowadays, AT shouldn't guess about anything. And a few years ago, Sun had the same problem with Java. Java doesn't use native widgets. For native widgets, it's quite easy to get information. But if you draw your own widgets in your window, the AT can't get any information. So Sun defines the Java Accessibility API to handle this. When GNOME came up, they didn't want to make the same mistakes, so they also defined an accessibility API for that from the beginning. And if you create your application with a GNOME toolkit, it's well accessible. For OpenOffice, there's a problem. We run on multiple platforms, on Windows, GNOME, and others. So which API to use? GNOME was a more modern one, but it's only on GNOME. Java is also fine, but we are not a Java application. But our decision was to implement the Java Accessibility API and to fake to be a Java application to the AT. So any AT tool sees OpenOffice as a Java application and will use a normal communication and doesn't have to care about that. So for the user interface, we could derive most things from GNOME and Java, but when we tried to expose the document content, then we figured out that the API was not well designed for disposing document content, so we had to make a lot of enhancements to our API, which went back to Java and to GNOME, which also led to a lot of improvements there. And as I said, on Windows, we still fake to be a Java application, but that's a lot of performance overhead because AT is written in C or C++, and we are written in C++, and we have to communicate through Java. So since OpenOffice 2.0.3, we have a native bridge from ATK to our UNO Accessibility API, which gave us a big performance boost. So on Windows, problem is not every IT on Windows is able to communicate with the other applications. So in general, we are accessible with the JAWS screen reader, the Zoom Takes, or the Supernova. On GNOME, it's much better because every IT on GNOME is built on the GNOME accessibility architecture. So we run with every existing IT. That would be the mechanical screen reader and magnifier. The GNOME on-screen keyboard. The GNOME on-screen keyboard is really different if you compare it to Windows on-screen keyboard. On Windows, we have quite stupid on-screen keyboards where you can click. And if you're interested in on-screen keyboards, you should look at the GNOME one. There are a lot of fancy features in it. Because it we give the AT a lot of information about menu structure, about toolbar structure, so we can have a lot of shortcuts to reach a function directly. A few days ago, the Orca screen reader was finished. So Orca screen reader started, a year ago. It's written in Python, and they made a lot of quick progress on implementing it. So I think that's the best screen reader now what we have on GNOME. And another interesting AT is the Dasher. In Dasher, there are some guessing about which character the user would have to type next, so you can fly with a mouse, and you must test it. I don't have a demo with me. And the best thing on GNOME, every AT is open source. Accessible document creation. So having the features is a requirement, but not enough. So the author of a document must take care that he really puts all needed information into it. So here are some simple rules. You have to create a well-structured document. A lot of people write a lot of text and use a selection and change the cursor, so AT can't see any structure in it. So we better use defined styles for headings, for example, instead of the hard font changes. You should clearly mark the table header and column rows. And if you have forms in your document, make sure you have a logical navigation order. You shouldn't rely on color alone, because some people cannot differentiate between certain colors. So make sure if somebody only can read the text, that the information doesn't get lost. Use luminously contrast ratio for your text, and provide text alternatives for non-textual context. So if you have an image in your document, it's a black box for a blind person, so make sure that you have a short name for the image and, if possible, a description of what's in the image. And also for hyperlinks. So hyperlinks are sometimes really cryptic and hard to understand, so it helps to have a simple name for it. So creating a well-accessible document is one thing, but very often you have to change the format of your document, so make sure you don't lose the information. So you keep most of the information if you export to HTML or PDF. And nowadays there's a lot of support from AT for PDF, and to make it much easier for the user, PDF is also self-voicing. For a longer time on Windows, I think, and for some time now on even on Linux. In OpenOffice 1 or 1.1, we had a very simple PDF export, which was more like printing, so we lost a lot of information. That has changed in 2.0, so you don't lose information for hyperlinks or other tags. An important feature that we implemented is creating tag PDF. Normally a PDF file is only there's some glyphs here and there, but no structure. Where's a paragraph? Where does it start? Where does it end? So you need tag PDF to really support NAT. File size increases a little bit, around 30%. That's the reason why it's not on per default. But if you really want to publish PDF, you should make sure to create tag PDF. And when you use other tooling for creating PDF, like Adobe Acrobat, make sure not to use the security options, because if you check one of the security options, then AT won't get any information. Because if you want to disable people to print it or to copy to the clipboard, but then AT would have easy access to the content, it's very easy to avoid the restrictions. So that's the reason why AT doesn't get any information when security is on. So on W3C, there is a Web Accessibility Initiative. in version 1, they started with the content accessibility guidelines, which were very much focused on HTML. Now I think they are almost finished version 2, where they try to be more general for all different kinds of content. End of last year, we started our OASIS Open Document Accessibility Subcommittee. So we wanted to really make sure that we don't lose any information, or that the file format itself is able to hold any information that might be used. So in the subcommittee, there are people from IBM, from Sun, some individual contributors. So we sit down and read all the spec and try to figure out where things are missing. That finished in May this year and will lead to some improvements to Open Document 101. And we also want to give guidelines for people who are creating applications to access Open Document. So, in short, we wanted to figure out if anything is missing for accessibility, and we want to give feedback to the technical committee, and we want to make proposals for enhancements and the guidelines. So we have identified 9 different issues, and that's not too much if you can consider the size of the specification with 700 pages. So we have proposed the changes to the technical committee, and most of them are now integrated in the 101, which will be ready in a few months. And we don't want to stop where we are now. We want to continue our work in the subcommittee to make sure when new requirements come up that we can communicate to the technical committee that changes are again needed. One of the changes is encoding pagination information. So if an application like OpenOffice Writer creates a layout for different pages, normally you don't have the information about the page breaks in the file format, because it depends on which font is needed, on which system you're running, on font matrix. Normally you don't care about it, because the application will do the rendering for you, and you print it, and that's it. Then we had the requirement from DAISY. So DAISY is a digital accessible information system. They produce audiobooks where people can listen to the text that would be in the document. And audiobook is very flexible in navigation, so they can navigate per chapter, per line, per paragraph, whatever, and per page. So what they want to have is, in a classroom, some people are able to read the document, and some people have to use an audiobook for the same. They want to tell the people, go to page 100. And of course, page 100 should be the same in the document like in the audiobook. Exporting the pagination information helps for the conversion to DAISY book without needing OpenOffice in the background. You can make it based on the Open Document format. Of course, the next requirement or on the wish list would be that an application that process Open Document is also able to recognize the page breaks. So if I load the document, my pagination should be exactly the same. But that's a difficult feature, because when I'm loading it on a completely different system with other fonts installed, and I would need 50% less space on the same page, how should I handle it? So we must think about that. The other requirement is encoding of author table header content. So right now you cannot say, if you look at the example, somebody wants to reach that sale. Right now an AT would say, okay, we have run about $10 in column B, row 5. But that doesn't help the user very much. So it would be really helpful if the author of the document would say, okay, here's my heading row and my heading column. And then the AT tool gets information and can say, oh, we have $10 in January in stock 1. So that really improves the usability of spreadsheets, for example. Another requirement is to be able to say what's the logical order of elements. So if you think about a drawing, I only created a very small example. Normally, you might have a lot of complex things which fit together, and it might be important for the author of the document in which order to reach the different areas of the drawing. And you can't handle it with a Z order, because then you would have the body of the car in front of all tires or behind all tires, but you could never have the situation to toggle first between the tires and then reach the body. Then we found three different areas where it's not possible to give enough information about what the user can see on the screen. So we need a short title, which is the accessible name of the object, and a longer description. So that was for image maps, for drawings, and for drawing layers. So if you say that's one issue and not three, we only detected 7 different issues. Very often it's hard to understand the relation between objects. If you see it on the screen, yeah, then you have an image, and below the image you have some text which is a caption for the image. But if you can't see the screen, then the AT will tell you, oh, we have an image, we have some text, but it cannot make the relation. So an important feature is to enable the author of the document to have clear relations, and of course to store the relation of the document. Also for a hypertext, we figured out it's possible to give it a name, but not a description, what the user will see on the screen if he clicks the hyperlink, which might also be very helpful, so the user doesn't have to test it if it's worth visiting the hyperlink. And a bigger one here is structured tables and presentations. Right now, OpenOffice Impress doesn't have tables, but if you import a PowerPoint document that has tables, then we create a lot of different shapes containing the text. So in the end, you have a collection of shapes. Each shape has some text, but nobody can tell. So normally, the structure for presentations in Open Document, but we didn't want to do it without knowing all requirements. So for Open Document 1.1, we said, okay, we are working on a solution, but right now we suggest that you don't create shapes anymore, but keep the table structure with using an embedded spreadsheet, so you don't lose any information, and AT is able to get into the spreadsheet and can get all the information from the table. For Open Document 1.2, we should have native table support in spreadsheets. Some references. We have an accessibility site on OpenOffice. You can find the information about the subcommittee on the Oasis pages. And it's worth having a look at the W3C web accessibility pages. Yeah. Some questions on this?
Yes. So what's your view on the decision in Massachusetts?
Sorry, I'm going to send it here with a book.
So what's your view on the decisions that were taken in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I can understand that they have to wait with a complete rollout until the accessibility issues are solved. So it doesn't help if you say everything has to use Open Document, but there's no application so accessible like Microsoft is right now. The problem is IT vendors are very much focusing on making Microsoft Office and Internet Explorer accessible. They don't care too much right now about OpenOffice and other ODF applications. So they wouldn't delay the rollout. They would get sued from a lot of people.
So as I understand it, JAWS is the biggest screen reader in the Microsoft marketplace. You said that JAWS is compatible with the Java API.
Yeah.
OpenOffice is compatible with the Java API. So what's missing?
There's a difference between accessible and between being able to use a tool efficiently. So for Microsoft Office, JAWS had a lot of custom scripts, which makes it much easier to the user. So they can work much faster than with OpenOffice. So it's not acceptable to go back for them.
Is that our problem to solve, or is it JAWS problem to resolve, or is it a problem with the Java specification?
No, JAWS would have to do all the fancy things they do for Microsoft, but they would also only do it if they see a business case.
Okay.
And they see, with, I don't know, 90% market share on Microsoft Office, so we, of course, concentrate on that. That's the problem. So we can't force them to do it. Any other questions? Okay, I think we are done. Thanks.